I don't know why yet. I will, though. There's some reason why Shalette is here, and it's not her devotion to this segment. There's some other reason why you're...
Oh, that's, I am devoted to the show. I have been devoted to the show.
Baloney.
Since I was a producer, and I would look so diligently to try and find guests.
I'm still waiting for your
topics,
first guest.
Segments. You know, I still, to this day, hold the record for the most amount of clicks we've ever got on a social media post. Yeah. And it was this show.
Yeah.
It was this show.
Yeah. It was really fair, too. I enjoyed it. It drove me onto Twitter myself.
Look at what you decided to bring. Did you just happen to have that in your hand?
Yeah, Emmy and I were riding around, hanging out with some folks from a couple of CEOs I had lunch with. And so I just decided, I was at the club, and they brought my Emmy, sat it down, and I had lunch with people and some CEOs.
You didn't win, though, for bring ass.
Okay, first of all, can we talk about this? These awards are so subjective. So I nominated...
Okay, are you telling me you really think you should have won for explaining to Janet Zion, bring your ass?
No, I should have.
Bring an ass.
It was
bring ass.
An entertainment category, and that was the funniest and most viral of all the things nominated. And the thing that won...
What else was in the category?
Should not have won. Okay, first of all, I was nominated twice in that category. My almanac.
You are hurting yourself. You know, I mean, your vote's against yourself.
I split the vote for me.
Yes.
I was like, who is this boring chick that won who beat me?
And so gracious loser here.
Oh, I'm horrible. I was sitting there like, what the? And I almost threw the table over, and I was yelling, and I was like, she better not go up there. She better not get a seat.
Who is this? What did she do?
I don't know. We got to look, because whatever it was, when they played it on the big screen, everybody was like, what? Huh? Oh, my God. Even bring your ass was a part of the bit for the whole award ceremony. Like, they made that a part.
They incorporated it.
They incorporated it because it was, I think that's the most clicked on thing for Care 11 for the entire year, to bring your ass.
I thought you suggested your Care 11 click when you were at Governor Walz's residence and then somebody talked to you.
No, that was NBC News. That was national.
Okay.
That was the
It's hard for me to remember which one you're telling me is the most clicked, you know?
And I have to tell you something I did. I made a real big power girl move. I'm not sure if I'm regretting it or not, but after you called me and I prayed about it and I thought about it.
Did you take my advice?
I did not.
Yeah, you went the opposite. What a shock.
I deleted my Twitter page.
All right, let's jump into this, because a lot of people are doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. Why are you?
Because I thought about it, and I did take into consideration. You got to tell people what you told me, which was excellent advice.
Well, no, I think it works better if you say why you did it, and then I'll tell you why.
Okay. So this is why I did it. It's Twitter's been my home. It's been my home base for I don't know how many years.
It's been great for
It's
you.
Been a great for me. It's gotten my kids on Good Morning America. It's got us on CBS Morning. We've got flown to New York to talk to Lindsey Davis, the one who moderated the presidential debate, Lindsey Davis.
Yep.
Right. Twitter has been amazing for our family. I won an RV for Marcus Lemonis off Twitter. So I didn't take this decision.
None of this happens without you being on Twitter.
None of this happens without this is not Facebook, Instagram, none of this. This is all on Twitter. And I had some of the most devoted social media followers on Twitter. As soon as I put something up, they would retweet it, repost it. If I said I didn't like somebody, remember how they jumped on you when I said you was racist and I clickbaited you that time? Remember what they did to you? Remember how that happened?
I do.
How it worked out?
Even though it was 1,000% a lie. And
That's not the point.
I mentioned like 30 athletes. I think one person was black, but then we emphasized that, you know.
So that I did not take that decision lightly. But it's like if you move into a neighborhood, this is the way I looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you love this house and you buy this house and you live in this house and you got great neighbors for a while. And then you look around and all of a sudden the neighborhood goes to hell in a handbasket. And you're like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like the way I feel. I don't like the way people are treating me. I don't like the way people are looking at me. I'm getting the hell out of here. Let me get my family and my stuff and go. And that's what it felt like on Twitter. It felt like a neighborhood that I was once a part of that I loved so much that was so good to me, that was so good to my family, that I suddenly had to leave because the neighborhood had went to crap.
And what I told you is fight the fight.
I said,
take these individuals on, speak your voice, stay as powerful as you are. Your influence has risen immensely.
Enormously.
Because of this, yeah. Right? You're with Governor Walz. You have a COVID commercial. You are raising the profile of parents with autistic kids. You're shining a light on racism when other people are tippy-toeing around it. And by the way, that doesn't mean everybody's embracing you.
No.
That is the part of it, right?
The ugly stuff in my DMs, Chad. One day I sat there with some of my friends and I read them.
It's disgusting.
And they were like, I said, this is all in the DMs and this is all in the last, like, 2 days. This was around Black Entrepreneurs Day.
Yeah.
Like, for 2 days, it was like a million of them in there.
Yeah.
And they were like,
well,
oh,
I know
God.
The text I received.
You know
how many people I blocked.
All the time. Like, why you have security whenever you go somewhere? Are you trying to, like, be big time? Well, I don't talk about it because I don't give people a light like that. Like,
mm-hmm.
when they do stuff like that, I don't even mention them. I don't talk about them because they're waiting for me to say something. They're waiting for me to read them so they can feel powerful. I don't talk about them, but I take precaution. So when you see me out in community, I always have a security guard on me because these people are really threatening me.
Yeah, listen, I cannot... It has been a while. I used to have two people who threatened my life on a regular basis with voicemail here. We don't have voicemail anymore, so I don't know where they're going, right? And I still get mail sometimes
threatening.
It's nothing. Nothing. It's a drop in the in Bass Lake compared to what you get, okay? And so for me, just automatically say, just dismiss it. Don't let the bees win. That's a lot easier said than done.
It was a lot easier.
But I know what a backbone you have. I know how confident. I know how proud you are. And I worry that when you step away, those who offer this filth, these gross, hateful, menacing comments, they feel like, hey, we won. Because we just had to threaten her to take her off a platform, which has allowed her from going from a, you know, part-time weekend producer who was on the verge of getting fired.
Because she fell asleep on a job.
Truly one of the most influential media people in this state. And Twitter has played an enormous part. I'm first, Twitter second.
Yeah, right. Look at him, right. Dave. Look. See how
okay,
he do?
Okay, I'm
see
first
how
and
do?
Second. See Twitter's how... third. I think you should say bleep you to these folks. I'm going nowhere. You are not going to push me away.
I'm going to think about it over the weekend, but I'm telling you, I felt like I was just in a neighborhood where I looked around at my neighbors. I looked around at the houses around me. I looked around at the messaging, and it was just like being in a great neighborhood that you moved into. You had the perfect house. You had the perfect neighbors, and all of a sudden, something happened. And I just feel like I got to get out of here.
Well, and I think part of what you're saying, too, is if people want to have any spirited, professional disagreement, fine.
Perfect. I love that. That's my jam.
When it goes to your race first, female second, pathetic comments about the kids—
threatening our safety.
Safety number one. Then you sit there and say, are there other platforms where my voice is going to be heard without this evil feedback?
Yeah. And that's what, you know, we're exploring now. I got on Threads when Threads first happened. It's not the same.
It's pretty boring,
it's
I hear.
Yeah.
Now, how about Blue Sky? It seems like that's having a moment right
that's
now.
That's having a moment, but I got on there, and, I don't want to learn. I'm old. We old. We don't want to learn nothing new. We just want what we love to
speak
just
for yourself.
Do right. I like the stuff I like.
Yep.
I don't like a lot of change. I'm good on Twitter if Twitter is good on me. And it was just like I put on a jacket and all of a sudden it didn't fit.
Yeah. It's pretty remarkable, too, when we talk about the politics of Twitter right now. And I know there are many conservatives out there
mm-hmm.
who felt like in first Trump regime that he was targeted, conservatives were targeted, they were censored.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times when I think they made points, other times where I think, you know, you can't scream fire in a crowded room, right? There's mm-hmm. there are lines of free speech and freedom of speech. By the way, it's not just for I love puppies and kitty right. cats and babies, but there's still an edge where it goes too far. Now Twitter, still as powerful as ever,
mm-hmm.
has the richest man on the planet running it, who is the co-president-elect of the United States of America. There is a report that the other day Elon was meeting with the top Iranian official.
Are you kidding me?
Top Iranian official. He is at Mar-a-Lago all the time. When Trump flew to D.C., who flew to D.C.? Elon Musk. Who met with the senators and the congressmen in the Republican
wow.
conference? Elon Musk.
Wow.
Now, it's going to be an awful breakup at some point.
At some point. It's not going to be long.
They are in the passionate baby-making process right now, and they're ripping each other's clothes off. I mean, it's just great right now. But something ugly is going to happen. Maybe it happens in 8 years. I don't know. Maybe it happens in 8 days. But that is amazing that Twitter, with the reach it has the co-president-elect of the United States touting everything Donald Trump wants him to say.
And
everything.
I'm telling you, I noticed as well on Twitter that my posts were not doing as well. Like, I promise you, there's some suppression going on. Because I would put out a post that I knew could pop. That I've got
yep.
this stuff down to a science.
Right.
I've been doing it for a while, and
right.
I've got
you
it
know.
Down to a science.
Yep.
And normally, a post that I put up that would normally get 10,000 engagements had one.
Yep.
I was like, what? These are cute kids.
Right.
What the hell is going on?
And listen, he bought it.
And he's doing what he wants. It's his
property.
And
it's his platform.
It's his property.
And he can do it.
Do it whatever
right?
he wants.
I am not calling anyway for any government intervention.
Mm-mm.
None of it.
That's your business.
It's his business. We can decide to play or we can decide to get out. I'm just emphasizing again, the biggest social media platform for political discourse is run by the right-hand man of the president and
elect
and has not pushed back on him once because they're totally in sync
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, they're lockstep. They're like Ashford and Simpson.
Man, they are like Ashford and Simpson. Well, they're not like Hall & Oates anymore because Hall & Oates, they're not together anymore. 21 past 1. You can react at any time to the stylesfinancial.com talk and text lines. 651-461-9226.
What in the world? Is this not Feisty Friday? What the hell is going on?
Dave, you want to throw Lindsay into
Did
the
I
bus
mess
here?
Up?
No, she hit one of the tunes that we have. Have you ever watched Live from Daryl's House?
No, I have not.
Yeah. Daryl Hall.
Is it on BET?
No, it's on the interwebs. You'll find it on the internet.
Okay.
But it debuted 17 years ago today. Daryl Hall bringing in musicians yeah. most of the time to play some of their songs,
okay.
some of Hall & Oates songs. That's him with Darius Rucker doing
Who
a little wagon wheel.
Who does not love Hall & Oates?
Although I will say this, Shaletta normally gets her two tunes.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
No,
can you please
true.
Train the
Not true.
That's not true.
Can you please train the new producer that I get my two tunes?
No,
do you need
I
me
give
to come
you,
in
I
and
give
train?
You one this patented you. Harrigan open.
This is your producer.
This is my producer. I yeah. know. I'm so excited.
I want to do a good job. This is the only
you
thing
know,
I want to do. I want to set you up for success.
And I appreciate it because when I was producing, that's my main goal was to set my host up for success. Ask Rashini.
Okay.
Ask Jordana.
Oh, yeah.
Ask Chad.
You loved Rashini. I mean, can I please, for the love of God, say what about 10 producers thought of Rashini? Okay. We need to be here through the DeRusha show to answer that question. All right. Can you text here? Can you share with Shaletta that I bought two of the combination door locks from Amazon that she was advocating for a few weeks ago, but they keep getting delayed, and now shipment is not expected until, wait for it, January.
Okay, can you ask that person to please email me? I have locks that have been donated by Twin Cities, Minnesota Nice residents, and I have a garage with about 50 locks. If they can email me, just go to ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, click the Contact Us button, and Jim Platton just mail me several locks. I would be more than happy to give you two.
Very nice.
Yes.
Okay, so say the email again.
ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. Click on Contact Us. I got two locks for you.
Perfect. More text. She's wonderful. Anyone that says anything bad, they're losers and not very
losers.
Bright. Yeah. I did not hear the first part of the conversation, but Shaletta, I'm so sorry this has happened to you. Under Trump, racism will greatly increase. Elon Musk has nostalgia for apartheid. No, I'm not going there. He does not have nostalgia.
He's got a lot of things.
Okay, let's not go there, just like I'm not going there with Trump and Hitler. And from a texter comparing Pete Buttigieg to Matt Gaetz and RFK Jr., please get out of here.
That's the scariest.
Show a morsel of credibility.
That's the scariest.
Get out of here. Okay, tell me about my guy, Andrew.
Oh, yes. So I don't know if you remember last week, the text messages came
out.
About black kids reporting to the plantation, mainly going to college students. I called St. Cloud State.
Show up to pick cotton.
Yes, show up to pick cotton.
Despicable.
I called Andrew. I said, listen, son, I don't know if this is Russian bots or racist people, but I want you to stay on campus because there's a certain amount of protection on that campus for you. If you leave off that campus, that protection leaves. Yes, ma'am, mom. Don't go anywhere this weekend. Yes, ma'am, mom. You know where Andrew was? Your friend? Your buddy? The one you won't let me stalk?
Mm-hmm. Yes, don't stalk him. How's that working out? He's not calling you.
That's not the point. Yeah. The point is, I told him to stay his little butt on campus. You know where he was?
Off campus?
He was in St. Paul at an Airbnb with a bunch of college kids and young girls, and they spent the weekend at an Airbnb.
Sounds like a great thing to do, Dave, when you're 18. You go to the big city.
Tons of fun.
You got some chicks with you?
I bet there was not a toothbrush, a bar of soap, Lysol, Clorox, deodorant.
That's over. You know that's over now.
I bet they stank.
Yeah. Well,
I bet nobody
you created that, by the way.
I bet nobody
with the blue gloves.
Washed their hands. And you know how I find out? Because God always
sends you probably have a private detective following him. I mean, it wouldn't shock me.
The Airbnb was two doors down from the barber that he's been going
Andrew,
to.
Oh, Andrew, you got to be better than that.
He was 2 years old. Look at
lazy.
God.
Look at that lazy.
God loves me. So since he was 2 years old, he's been going to this barber. And so the barber saw him. He's like, Andrew, is that you? He was like, uh-uh, not me. The barber's
the
like, Andrew.
Barber said that to him. And he goes,
Andrew.
No. He called out Andrew. Andrew turns around and responds.
Not me.
No, not me.
Not me.
So the barber snitched them?
The barber. What? Let me tell you what happened. So last
barber snitched. So
yes.
Last night.
What a snitch.
Check my haircut. I went to Grooming House Barbershop on Selby Avenue. And Day-Day
a snitch,
was doing.
In other words.
Day-Day was doing the boys. And he said, hey, Shaletta, Andrew came home for Halloween, huh? And I said, no, Andrew didn't come home. We went up there for, you know, parent and family weekend. He said, oh, so Andrew came home for Halloween, huh? I said, no, I told you Andrew didn't come home. He was up at St. Cloud because I told him not to leave. He said, Andrew came home.
Yeah. This will be Andrew's last visit to that barber. Okay. Andrew, if I have to call you, I'll cut the hair. Okay. Dave, that guy's a snitch.
Yeah.
He is
That's
not
over.
A snitch.
Yes, he is.
He is a very concerned
snitch.
Barber who has been supporting Andrew and our
he
family
lost business.
Since he was 2 years old.
I mean, you're 80, and any day you're gone. And Andrew's 18. I mean, he just cost himself 60, 70 years of business. I mean, you got to. Which way you're riding, Dave?
Yeah. Once you hear Shaletta say no, he didn't come on. Oh, I was thinking of somebody else.
Exactly.
Never mind. Yeah.
Oh no, three times.
Now let's get to the one I'm anticipating most. What's going on with your dating life?
Ooh.
Here we go. What do we got?
Well, now, I wasn't going to talk about it, but I don't know if you remember me telling you the story about a guy that, you know, he and Sean were, you know, kind of, you know, I had a choice.
Vine.
Yeah, I had
They were
a choice.
Vine for you.
Yeah. And so I picked Sean.
Yep.
And
this other guy had to be devastated.
He was devastated. And so after I got divorced, I tried to reach back out to him. He said, well, I'm engaged.
Okay. Were you reaching out to him for a date or a booty call?
I don't know. know. We would have found out, but we didn't know because he said, I'm engaged. And I said, oh, okay, well, congratulations. I hope everything works out for you. You know, go ahead and do your boo.
Yep.
And so this week I got a text. He said, I gave my ring back. Look at Dave's eyebrows. Look at Dave's eyebrows.
You know who it is? It's the barber. It's the barber. There's method to all of this. Yeah, of course he told. Okay, now where does this guy live?
Atlanta.
Well, that's convenient for you. Right next to Invergrove Heights. Okay, honestly. Okay, so this is a flight booty call. That's what this is, Dave. This is not a relationship.
So I may be gone next weekend. I may be broadcasting from Atlanta. I don't know. We'll see how this all
works
out. Next week is my free weekend.
Lisa's first name. What's his first name?
Sir.
Sir.
The guy in Atlanta.
No.
He doesn't get a name. You know, when you're dating somebody, you don't give them a name until they mean something. So for right now, he's the guy in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't like the way you're looking at me.
I'm going to track him down somehow. By next Friday, I will know.
If you're going to Atlanta, he means at least a little something.
Well, I mean, it's history. It's not like a brand new dude. You know, just you've been knowing him for a while.
Okay. Could you see a relationship with him?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have kids, and he doesn't understand kids. Like, the reason we stopped talking once before was because I was doing something with my kids, and we were on the phone. I was like, hey, I'll call you back. And so I didn't call him back, and he got upset. And I was like, oh, you don't have kids.
Yeah.
You don't understand. Kids will wipe your memory clean. Like, I forgot you even existed.
They'll torture
so
you.
I did not know that I was supposed to call you back. So he doesn't understand how that works and kids and stuff. He's never had kids. So I'm like, it probably won't work.
Just a booty call.
Just a booty call.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's fine.
Absolutely nothing
wrong. It's a long way to go. But
that's why I could ask for forgiveness you know, later.
Sean just hearing about this now? Or
maybe, if he's listening.
Yeah. How about Sean? Sean have anything going on?
He better not.
Why?
You know, this life is double standard.
Yeah. What was the story again where, was it early when you guys committed? What? Like his ex just reached out to say happy birthday or something?
Oh, he wished the girl happy birthday on Facebook.
Yeah. You handled that well, if I remember.
I think that's the last time he was on Facebook.
I think we should hit the button on that note.
That's right there. Baby.
All right, Shaletta, tomorrow. Are you on? Or
actually, I am 12 to 3.
12 to 3. Or maybe a best of. You never know. Here we go. It's getting worse. Nearly 3/4 of U.S. adults are overweight or obese. Think about that. It's a new study. The Lancet was published late yesterday. Cross ages, particularly alarmed by what's going on with children. One doctor called it an epidemic. Another doctor, it's going to require a lot more attention, a lot more investment than we are currently giving the problem. This paper from The Lancet defined overweight adults as those aged 25 and over with a body mass index at or over 25, and adults BMI at or over 30. Now, Dave, we know we've talked about this before, where sometimes the BMI stretches credulity a little bit.
It does.
When it's some incredibly fit athlete who's 6'2", 220, and according to body mass index, obese, and there's like 0.4 body fat.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of these numbers are probably just flat out inaccurate. But the issue is still the issue. The rate of obesity doubling in adults from 90 to 21 to more than 40%, nearly tripling among girls and women ages 15 to 24. And everybody in this category, Dave, isn't just so fit. We have
We have a bodybuilder problem in this country. I think that's obvious.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere I go, I run into somebody who looks like you. Just a giant bodybuilder.
That's right.
And it costs the country an extraordinary amount of money. I think I saw it here. I had it down. I think it was like $9 trillion. You know, an extra added cost. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it's an Ozempic world. Sanjay Gupta is going to have another special on it. Oprah had a special on it. We both saw the story a couple days ago where individuals who were on Ozempic decided to get off it, and they gained the weight back.
Yeah.
There are millions upon millions of stories for Ozempic and the other drugs where their lives are so much better. They are immensely better. There are side effects on these Ozempic drugs which could make life a lot easier in other ways too, other addictions. It can be expensive. It can be time consuming. It can be genetics. It can be where you were born. It can be where you live. It can be your willingness to meet it. It can be a food addiction. It's a lot of things. But it is out of control. It just is. And I am far from flawless. I came in today after eating healthier lately, and I went and had a pop, a slice of pie, pizza, and a salad. Okay?
Got the salad, and then that's
well,
good.
Well, it's a combo.
That's good.
It's a combo right nearby. So it's not like I'm eating flawlessly. And I have an unbelievable amount of empathy and sympathy for the folks who make the commitment, demonstrate the willpower, try furiously, eating right, exercising, sleeping, and no matter what, they keep gaining weight. And they look at somebody else who's the typical, well, my metabolism is just racing. And they're just, my father used to say this to my sister, because my sister was always thin. My father, in a very delicate way. You're like a garbage disposal. Okay. You can hear it, can't you?
Yes, I can.
My sister, beautiful, fit woman. You're like a garbage disposal, hey, all that you eat.
Mrs. Garbage Disposal. Yeah, They're over here.
There are a lot of people in our family who could eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at him. You know, he gained a little bit of weight at times, but I mean, the least athletic person I've ever met in my life is my father. Also, the fastest walker that I've ever met in my life. He helped me create the house walking craze. At least for me, it's the house walking craze.
And I'm sure he didn't exactly eat the healthiest diet, given that he was at a sporting event every single night.
He did not. Now, when he was more with me, whether I was with Kathleen, Jen, Carla, or I'm a decent cook too, then he would. But no, often.
You talk about growing up, the food staples in the house.
Awful.
White bread and
Pepsi.
More white bread.
And Stouffer's and, you know. And again, he is the man the last 5 years trying to convince me that the gas station near him had some of the greatest food out there. He would try to tell you, say, trust me, let me bring over a couple of sandwiches. I'm like, no. I go, I'll have those sandwiches when I'm going on a long road trip, like 6-7 hours. And I'll probably enjoy them. When I'm at home, I can make us another meal outside of the chuck wagon. And I've had probably 100 chuck wagons in my life, and there's a time a chuck wagon's good. I'm not looking for perfection, but what are we going to do about this? And Ozempic sounds good. Dave, I get why somebody is tempted, whether they've tried or not. Wait a second. I can take a pill? And I don't eat as much. And all of a sudden, I'm losing weight. My blood pressure's better. And I'm staying away from diabetes. So I'm not knocking that. It might turn out to be one of the great miracle drugs of our lifetime. I think the studies are pretty strong, though. Once you stop, for almost everybody, it's coming back.
Yeah.
And can you stay on it for 10, 15, 20 years? We don't know that yet.
And can you afford to stay on it for 10, 15, 20 years? Because I think, you know, obesity, there's a economic side to it. You know, lower incomes, more obesity. I think we all know that.
Exactly.
And it's not an inexpensive pill.
No.
We'll see. Insurance may change that. Who knows?
Is insurance going to go with all these drugs in the next 5, 10 years? Because right now, most people are paying for it, and you're 100% right. It should not just be a drug for the middle class and above.
Yeah.
Okay? And there's plenty of people in the middle class going to say, I can't afford it either. I feel for these folks. I don't think doctors talk tough enough. I really don't. I think they're afraid of offending people. And even if you have that conversation, Dave, with your, and by the way, again, let's just emphasize this. Once you turn 18, your doctor cannot be called Dr. Dave. You cannot.
His last name is Dave.
You cannot go to Dr. Lindsay. It's Dr. Brown or Dr. Harrigan, or you need to quit that doctor. Okay, that's if they're calling themselves Dr. something.
I just want to be your friend, Jen.
They need to see a child. Okay, Lindsay, are you with me?
I'll go with you on this.
Thank you.
I'll go with you on
reluctantly?
This. Reluctantly? Yes. But I do have like another thing that I think we could try besides like Ozempic. I think it's a great tool for certain people's.
Exercise?
Yeah.
Restraint?
I also think it's something that allows you to continue to live whatever lifestyle you're living and just kind of take a pill, right, and move on with it. I think a quote that I've heard about the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection. And I think that we're disconnected from ourselves for a multitude of ways and a multitude of different methods. And then we're disconnected from each other as well.
Right.
And so we get caught up into these addictive cycles to make ourselves feel better, to make ourselves feel alive because we're just going to work every day because we have to. And I think we need to go upstream more and really take a look at our lifestyles. But how many people can truly do that? Because that's a privilege to slow down.
That is. It's expensive. You don't know if your job will allow it. You don't know if your personal life will allow it. What do you think we should do individually and collectively to slow down this staggering increase of individuals who are overweight? What do you want to do to help? What do you want to do yourself? What's realistic? What's unfair? 651-461-9226. Music from... what is it again? Daryl's house?
Live from Daryl's house.
Live from Daryl's house. Among the texts on the obesity topic, obesity, let's ask RFK Jr. how to fix the problem. This is an area where if he wants to address this, I'm all for it. I am amused, though, at the number of conservatives like, go! And then when Michelle Obama talked about it, mind your own business!
Get out of school lunches!
Oh, isn't that interesting? More text here. I'm on... Zepbound. I've lost 60 pounds. The trick to keeping off is keeping the habits you've developed on the drug. Stop blaming heredity for the obesity crisis in this country. I said it's one of many factors. I didn't blame it. And it is one of many factors. It is the cause for a small minority of people. Our sedentary lifestyles are a cause of most obesity. I don't know if it is most, but too many people are sedentary. That is true.
We have plenty of that, and we have plenty of terrible food that's very, very addictive.
We have a lot of things. Cost issues, your schedule. But sedentary, is that a part? Yeah. But I know multiple friends of mine who are constantly exercising and cannot lose the weight, no matter what.
I think we also have a mindset in this country that, well, you just got to exercise. And I think anybody who's tried to lose weight has... realize quickly that you can't out-exercise a bad diet.
I'm on Wegovy, the weight loss equivalent of Ozempic. I mean, your taxes and injection cost me $800 out of pocket every month.
Oof.
That's a lot. That is a lot of money. I've been obese my entire life. This makes a huge difference, but you're correct. I will have to be on it for the rest of my life if I don't want to gain weight. I respect you a lot, but I can tell you've never had to take Ozempic. Side effects were so bad, I couldn't live my life outside the can. That's one ticket. That's one person. There are tens of thousands of people who are on it, and they love it. So I'm sorry this person faced that. That's awful, but it's not everybody. That's why so many people are signing up. My doctor prescribed Ozempic, but Medicare would not cover it. It is not an option for those who are disabled and on Medicare. That's unfair. Obesity is not just people overeating. It's a mental disorder that can cause the overeating. My daughter is morbidly obese, and she's many times tried and failed to break the cycle. She's finally getting help with the diet drug. All another good point. Realistically, what needs to be looked at is what are we doing with huge companies putting into our foods and ingredients? What does bioengineer actually mean? Personally, I pretty much gave up on all desserts, pastas, french fries, et cetera, and I've been able to maintain weight. Good discipline for them.
Yeah.
That is another part of RFK Jr. that if he just was looking at foods, what we're putting in, and obesity, and getting away from his proven lies on vaccine. Proven lies on vaccines. I'd be for it. But he's not going to. And buckle up on that position, because he offers up too much that's demonstrably false. Linda's Construction Time Check. Time for us to end the hour. Time to invest in GAF Solar Roofing and receive free installation labor.